This is the CBS World News Roundup. Amtrak Southwest chief derailed south of Topeka. No one killed. 36 non-life-threatening injuries. Al Gore and George W. Bush sweep southern primaries. Each locks up his party's presidential nomination.
Facing an identity crisis that can hit home, I'm Peter Mayer.
And good morning, everybody. I'm Christopher Glenn, CBS News. More than a dozen cars of Amtrak Southwest chief off the rails about 15 miles south of Topeka.
We heard something like a break and then like a shake. It didn't seem like that we had derailed.
No one was killed, says reporter Melissa Bruner of WIBW Topeka at the scene.
16 cars of the train actually went off the tracks. 7 of those fell over on their sides. 5 of those were passenger cars. 155 people were on board the train when this derailment happened. 32 people were taken to area hospitals with injuries. The good news is, though, none of those is believed to be life-threatening.
The train was bound from Chicago to Los Angeles when it happened. A tourist bus carrying 61 Americans from the U.S. military base in Ramstein, Germany, to Paris overturned near Verdun. 22 people were hurt. 8 are still hospitalized. Police say the driver may have fallen asleep at the wheel. George W. Bush has put a lock on the Republican presidential nomination.
Tonight, we can say, mission accomplished.
Al Gore is a similar safe bet for the Democratic nod.
Tonight, the South put us over the top, and this son of the South is never going to forget it.
The front runners each swept yesterday's southern state primaries, garnering enough delegate strength to be assured of the nominations. CBS News chief Washington correspondent Bob Schieffer says locking it up this early makes the campaign trail ahead that much longer.
It's 4.5 months just to the nominating conventions. It's 7 months until the general election come fall. I wonder if you can sustain public interest that long.
Al Gore says there'll be no let-up in his campaign as he heads to Pennsylvania today. Governor Bush is taking the day off, relaxing at home in Texas. They steal your Social Security and credit card numbers, and all of a sudden, they're you, and they're spending your money. CBS News correspondent Peter Mayer reports live on a national summit on identity theft.
Each year, thousands of people literally lose their identities and lots of money to thieves who steal credit cards and Social Security numbers. The Federal Trade Commission's Beth Grossman says victims are often unaware.
Somebody opens up a credit card account in your name and then runs up debts, and you only find out when you go to apply for a mortgage or some other loan that there are all of these unpaid debts on your credit report.
Treasury hopes its two-day summit will find a new approach to identity thieves. Live in Washington, Peter Mayer, CBS News.
The school is in shock, says Antioch College Dean of Students Scott Warren, over the murders of a student on a photography project and a friend who was visiting her, shot and killed near the beach town of Cahuita in Costa Rica.
Suffering a loss like this was really very, very hard on all the students and faculty and staff at the college. A lot of pride, a lot of hugging and emotional pain.
Antioch student Emily Howell and a former student, Emily Egan, were murdered. One of them shot twice in the head, the other 3 times in the back. A computer software billionaire wants everybody to get an Ivy League quality education online. We hear about it live from CBS News correspondent Dan Revie.
Michael Saylor isn't doing what other computer-age tycoons have done, making huge donations to old-fashioned colleges. He's giving $100 million and more to come if needed to set up a virtual university and library with lectures by what he calls the world's geniuses. This 35-year-old MIT graduate is head of MicroStrategy. He told the CBS News broadcast 60 Minutes his company collects and sells marketing data.
If you tell me what books you read, I can guarantee you, you will never read the wrong book.
His stock in MicroStrategy is worth $13 billion.
Now, Dan, how would people qualify to get this free education?
Just log on for free on the web. Still no plans for exams, credits, or degrees. Chris?
Executions in California and Texas last night. Serial killer Darryl Rich muttered peace as he was put to death at San Quentin for throwing an 11-year-old girl from a bridge to her death. But in the death chamber at the Huntsville, Texas prison, Punkhi Wilkerson stunned officials even as the lethal chemicals were being administered.
Just before he was executed, he muttered something about a key, and then he spit out a handcuff key out of his mouth, which the warden immediately confiscated.
Larry Todd of the Texas Criminal Justice Department. It's unknown how Wilkerson got that key. A coalition of state officials wants a crackdown on smoke-belching diesel vehicles. CBS News reporter John Harchie has details.
The Federal Environmental Protection Agency should crack down on diesel pollution, according to officials at state and local pollution agencies.
One of the few remaining significantly large motor vehicle sources of pollution are trucks and buses.
Spokesman Bill Becker says a new analysis by state and local regulators blames diesel pollution for a large number of illnesses.
We found that there were over 125,000 excess cancers.
The EPA won't comment before it sees this analysis. John Hartje, CBS News, Washington.
One radio station in Florida is doing more than its part to ease the high price of gasoline, at least temporarily. On scene in Longwood, CBS News reporter Peter King.
This is why people started lining up early this morning.
Free gas today at Texaco on 434th. It's Scott and Erica's show at Mix 105.1.
A radio station giving 105 drivers 10 gallons of gas. An offer too good to resist for Sandy Arnold and her minivan.
It takes about 22 gallons and I fill up twice a week. So this is a great deal.
Even though she waited here since before dawn.
10 gallons free is probably about half the tank. It'll get me a lot of places.
For these drivers, temporary relief from high gas prices is better than none. Peter King, CBS News, Longwood, Florida.
Even opposing Atlanta Hawks players cheered as the San Antonio Spurs' Sean Elliott stepped onto the court last night, returning to the game just 7 months after he got a kidney transplant from his older brother.
I felt real good. I was actually surprised at how good I felt on the court.
He is the first professional athlete to return to a major sport after transplant surgery. A record crowd of 10,000 on hand at the Atlanta Braves spring training camp in Kissimmee, Florida last night.
Now pitching, number 49, John Rocker.
Reliever John Rocker retired all three Detroit Tiger batters he faced in the bottom of the ninth, helping the Braves to a 4-0 win in his first appearance since being suspended for offensive remarks about minorities, gays, and foreigners.
Finally showed you people in the media that not everybody's against me.
On Wall Street in the early going, the Dow Industrials ahead 33. The NASDAQ Composite is down 2.25 points. The latest study on college student, or rather, it's been 6 months now since Hurricane Floyd ravaged North Carolina. But CBS News reporter Jim Crisula tells us that for many of its victims, the storm is not over yet.
Driving along Oak Island's oceanfront road with Mayor Joan Altman, little has changed since Hurricane Floyd blew ashore here 6 months ago. 430 of the island's 500 waterfront homes were damaged. Only a handful have been repaired. Several remain shattered in pieces on the beach. Altman still finds the devastation hard to believe.
The town loss was about $5 million. The private property loss, houses and so on, was about $25 million.
The mayor estimates Hurricane Floyd will cost the nine-mile-long island $100 million in lost tax revenue and tourism income this year. Jim Crisula, CBS News, Oak Island, North Carolina.
And that's the World News Roundup for Wednesday, March 15th. I'm Christopher Glenn, CBS News.